is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China. Headline in Bloomberg. China calls military flights a response to U.S.-Taiwan collusion. The story requires explanation. Comments shed light on China's increased warplane sorties. U.S.-China ties improving, but Taiwan issue causes tension, writes Bloomberg News. China said the rising number of warplanes it sends toward Taiwan were due to the island's, quote, military collusion with the U.S., shedding light on its motives for the threatening activity. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me as my colleague and co-host. And we're very pleased to welcome Steve Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's New China Policy Initiative. Steve, this is a strange explanation that Beijing has woken up to the fact that Taipei and Washington exchange phone calls and text messages and share military hardware. Why now? What does this mean about the domestic consumption in China that they're suddenly worried about something called military collusion? Good evening to you.
Oh, good evening, John. It is a curious formulation. It seems more out of the realm of the national security law as it was applied to Hong Kong than it is out of the traditional talking points with regard to cross-strait relations. Of course, there's a long history of China not accepting or recognizing the legitimacy of the Taiwan Relations Act, and there's always been an overstatement of what American agreements and accommodations were to China in the normalization process, while keeping continuity of communications with the government of Taiwan. So there's a longstanding part of this, but I think this new verbiage that tries to frame it as collusion is kind of the preparatory materials that they use to justify taking punitive actions against Taiwan and the United States. There really isn't an uptick in American activity around Taiwan relative to the real uptick, which is China's sorties in air and sea that have dramatically increased over the recent few years.
And the People's Liberation Army, quote, drills are a solemn warning against Taipei's increased provocation, which damaged peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. That's a spokesman for China's Taiwan Affairs Office. Is that just straight up propaganda for domestic use? What's the audience for that unusual provocation?
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, the existence of Taiwan is deemed to be provocative to the Chinese Communist Party. Certainly the existence of a free and independent, directly elected government in Taiwan is seen as an unacceptable kind of standard. And so there's nothing that Taiwan is doing that is particularly provocative in any way, shape or form. I mean, after all, how provocative is it to have transferred immense technology and billions, if not trillions of U.S. dollars worth of know-how and economic activity to China, anyway, an attack or a provocation? But the reality is put to the margins. Really, this is political warfare, communication warfare by the Chinese Communist Party.
Gordon, you have a question for our friend Steve.
Steve, I think you put your finger on it when you said that Beijing is trying to establish a justification for further action against Taiwan and the U.S. What would that further provocation look like?
Well, there are very provocative forms of it that could include a military attack on the Taiwan mainland. It could involve a formal blockade that seemed to have been foreshadowed with the exercises proximate to Speaker Pelosi's visit last year. There are a whole host of things, but more likely it's this just ratcheting up of incremental coercion, pressure, delegitimizing activity that I think is what is most likely to increase, especially as Taiwan enters its presidential election season. I don't think that China wants necessarily to inject itself in a way that provokes an overwhelming backlash as occurred in 1996 and arguably has occurred in other cycles. But they're not backing down from this ratcheting up of pressure and delegitimizing activity.
The question of the pandemic on the mainland, it is not in Taiwan. However, there's a headline that is needs interpretation, Steve, and I ask for your help. This is CNBC. Mainland Chinese citizens are eager to travel for the West's mRNA COVID vaccines. Are those Chinese citizens who can afford it going to Taiwan for Moderna and Pfizer the way they're going to Europe and America for Moderna and Pfizer? Does Taiwan gain sympathy because it makes the vaccine available?
Well, it's certainly going to be a part of this theater. There's a couple of different elements of this theater. First and foremost, it has to at some level be a crushing recognition that China, having made this virus and unleashed this virus, has actually proven less effective than the West in being able to come up with vaccines. Now, the vaccines are not without controversy or flaws, even in the West. But the fact that the Chinese people know better than anyone else that there is no reliable quality control in China, that they, if they want to protect their precious little emperors, their one child or their next generation, they want to go abroad to get this health care. That's an indictment of the failure of the Chinese communist system. On the other level, there has to be great unease among the target countries. While they'll welcome the medical tourism money, there's risk of conveying all kinds of other uncertainty with increased travel. I expect Taiwan to be very cautious in this regard.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, twice in the last week or so, Taiwan has offered medical assistance to China because of the COVID surge there. And twice Beijing has either ignored it or turned it down. That must be the result of politics, right?
Absolutely, politics first. I mean, they cannot afford to allow the impression that this renegade government in Taiwan somehow was more effective in coming up with basic health care that the Chinese people badly need. So it is, of course, politics over all else, but that's no surprise when it comes to Chinese Communist Party rule.
Let's stay with the Taiwan story here at the beginning of a year. Is there anything you see, Steve, that makes this the year that China moves to a military operation similar to how Russia fooled a number of analysts moving to military operation in the beginning of 2022? Or are we looking at a situation that's unreadable? I'm trying to see if there's a pattern change.
Well, I am of the category that this is mostly unreadable for the following reason. We never will succeed in imposing our rationality onto Xi Jinping and deriving correct conclusions about what he will or will not try to put in action and when. We have to live with the reality that the Chinese leadership can be irrational and can take terribly destructive action at any time. That said, it would be irrational for them to go too far too fast in 2023. The slow cooking of the frog, the ratcheting up of pressure has largely been working for them in terms of what their overall political and international objectives are. Taiwan still remains, Taiwan's democracy still flourishes, but it has to fight for every breath of air in the international press and has to fight back against China's frame of that. So it would be irrational for them to do otherwise, but we can't count on rationality as we understand it from Xi Jinping or the Communist Party.
And Gordon, your measure, is there any pattern that we should be watching? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, we look at the frequency of incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone and the naval circumnavigation of the island. I guess the most important thing is to look at frequency, because that will tell us what Beijing thinks and is trying to accomplish.
Steve Yates is the chair of America First Policy Institute's new China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.